Hi, I'm Spicy Dicey.
And I'm Chantal Renee.
And we love sex and horror.
These are topics we love to write about as published authors.
I love all things spicy and dicey.
And I'm a big fan of sex and the sinister.
Thanks for joining us for some dark, twisted, sexy, uncensored fun as we discuss
sex and horror.
From crystals to tarot cards to wands to broomsticks to blessed candles to ornate swords and to incense sticks. The magic cauldron brings life to all your otherworldly tricks. Look them up, don't be shy, that's the Magic Cauldron, Houston's favorite magic shop.
Hello.
Chantal Renee.
I'm here.
What's up? What are you playing an instrument?
Yeah, it's a little ditty I learned.
What is it?
It's actually Wild World.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, it's on the ukulele. I don't know how many people want to hear that. That's that.
Yay! Hey, I love it.
My debut.
Yeah, Chantel is so talented. Well, I got a skull necklace that she made, and she was selling the necklaces, Ouija board necklaces, and earrings at what was the event we were at the other night?
It was the Bewitched DJ night, dance night. They do Bewitched all over, and it's not just here in Houston. They go all over Texas.
Oh, okay. The DJs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I saw like three of them trading out.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed the music a lot.
It was a little louder than I thought it would be, but I always have my trusty earplugs.
Right. Yeah, I had a hearing Monday, and normally I usually have to say, "I'm sorry, Your Honor, I cannot hear you. I was at a concert the other night," but it was okay. I was able to hear okay this time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So it was at the Black Magic Social Club, which seems to be the new on and popping. Are they still in numbers? Customers?
You know, it's just not possible. I mean, they're not big enough to handle that much people.
But they're free.
Well, yeah, but some shows you pay.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're free because they're a bar. They're not considered like a nightclub necessarily. But they're a venue.
Okay. So we're having something on June 23rd. You want to, I guess this is, we plug everybody else, plug our event coming up.
That's right. Yeah, everybody's got to get out there. It's basically an open mic reading night. We want everybody to bring shit they like to read and or hear, like maybe a song you like and you want to read that song to people. Yeah.
And that's at the Black Magic Social Club too.
On the 23rd, people, you better be there.
They've got a nice wall of skulls. I was like, this would be a great place to film like the opening scene to my Sleepy Willow, my Narcoleptic Vampire series.
That's true. That is, that I think you are correct on that. I think like really such a great idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the whole place. It looks really good.
Yeah, it's a vibe. The owner seems cool.
Yeah, for sure. And he's just very chill, right? Or very, very laid back.
Yeah.
I think there's more than one, but I think one's there most of the time than the other. But I thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we got a ukulele solo. We did a little promo, but Black Magic Social. I guess we're done for tonight.
All right. See you later. Oh, and then also our special guest for this particular open mic, because we're not sure, this may be an ongoing. We'll see how this one goes.
Mm-hmm.
But our special guest that night is going to be the Houston Horror Film Fest guys.
Oh, okay. So that's Scott and Tony.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of other guys that come up. They'll be there to answer questions. Maybe, who knows, you can get some, you know, details about the show coming up. I think they're going to get up on stage and do a little chatting about it. But yeah, I mean, we want to try to, it's like 7 to 10, so we want to try to get as your own stuff that you've written, even. That's, I mean, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to probably read some stuff. Yeah.
If you don't come, you're going to make Chantel and I go back and forth all night. So,
pretty much. and hopefully it'll be entertaining.
Yeah, if you are, I mean, are you going to strip, you know, take something off up there while you're up there? I need to bring some ones.
Right? I'm not sure that they would let us stay in the club. I'd be like, well, maybe if y'all were 15 to 20 years younger.
Right. Fair enough. Happy Pride Month, everybody listening.
Yes, it is.
This is June. It's Pride Month. We are friendly with LGBTQIA plus on this app. So just, I mean, on the app too, but I mean, on our podcast, on our show. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool, a sex and horror app. What would that
be? Oh, girl, I wish I could do it, especially since those seem to be the two genres that get the most hate,
right?
You know, if you put in the hashtag horror on Instagram, like it'll give you a warning before you can get to anything like that. It'll be, you know, they automatically think maybe you're mentally ill or something's wrong.
People are so stupid.
That's on Instagram. I remember that happening on Instagram. I think somebody else on here, another guest we had in the first season, mentioned it. But speaking of first season, we are now into our fourth season. The very last episode that we released was episode one. That was with Jeremy Summerall. That was episode one of our episode one of season four. Damn it, I can't talk tonight. Episode one of season four.
I knew you would get there. I was just going to like be silent. I'm like, she's gonna make it. I know it. You almost got it. Yep. Okay, good.
You're just listening to me suffer.
No, I was cheering you on.
Oh, see, I should have just cut it off after we did the announcements, but here we are.
Speaking of which. Well, yeah.
Okay, yay, season four for us.
Ooh.
Did you think when we started this back in 2019, we'd still be going now?
No, actually, because nobody else does. I didn't think, not because we wouldn't be able to handle it, but because nobody else does. Like, it's really weird. We went to that social the other night for Pod Houston, mm-hmm. and I think we may have saw one or two people we knew.
Mm-hmm. A lot of new people.
Yeah, a lot of new people getting into the business. And, you know, I get it. I mean, I think the pandemic made people start really going, what am I doing with my life? Right. So, you know, if you're doing a podcast without any real purpose, you're just to do it. And you're like, this isn't really forwarding anything for me. Why am I doing this? I get it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it does require a level of work involved. So if you're not getting a return on your time investment or financial investment, it could be like, well, what the heck am I doing this for?
Yeah, where, you know, like, I think we just like to hear each other say shit, so.
Well, at least we can get in as press and media at some really exciting places, you know, like this, the Horror Film Festival that's coming up July 22nd through 24th at the Marriott at the airport. Might as well plug that.
Well, we plugged that a little, but yes.
Yeah.
And people need to get their tickets for real.
Yeah, get the tickets at horrorfilmfest.com, I believe. It might be the horrorfilmfest.com. I don't know.
I thought it was houstonhorrorfilmfest.com.
Oh, yeah. You're probably right.
We're going to get it. We're suffering through this or the other. Oh, but the other night when we were out listening to some DJs, we did see our favorite listener.
Yep. Julio. Well, you know, you don't want to say, okay, yes, Julio is definitely a favorite. We don't want to say the favorite because somebody else that listens regularly is going to get pissed off and say they don't get shout outs. But we're going to say, hey, Julio, thank you so much for listening consistently. And I see his face at all the horror events. So it's so great to see a familiar face.
Well, that's why he gets plugged, because he's always communicating. We want to hear from everybody. email yeah, us. Yeah. Instagram, say, message us. Get right. on our voicemail. Talk to us, people.
Absolutely. But I want to say thank you for everybody who listens. You know,
yes.
I want to throw that out there. If you listen, we really appreciate you. We really appreciate our faithfuls, our dedicated listeners. It's been 4 seasons in. So we do it for you. Yeah, we like hearing each other talk and cut up. But I mean, also, it helps to know that some people are still listening and enjoying. So thank you.
Yes. And I talk to people every day who just start off. I talked to a fellow author the other day, and she's just getting into it. And she was like, I'm on the episode 3. I'm like, girl. Those are the painful days.
Like, and we did it all the way through the pandemic, through the lockdown too.
That's right, we sure did.
Yeah, I don't think we even missed the episode then.
Nope, I don't think we did either.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, I know a lot of people died, and I feel really bad about everyone who was hurt, but I gotta say that was some of the best time of my life, because I got to slow down for the first time. I don't think I have really come back online yet.
I think at least every person who has survived the pandemic got at least an extra 5 years added to their life, because right? that de-stressing time, that 2 or 3 months was vital.
Yeah, I really appreciate the time to just sit and just be, but I also got to learn how I want to do more of that, just being instead of constantly being in work mode. You know, I told you about that. Mm-hmm. So it was great to have a break, and we podcast all through that time. So I can't say that I didn't do anything, but when we took the break for a few months, I realized that things had changed again. You know, suddenly all my work was coming back in with a vengeance, and I got busy. But I keep trying to take moments to breathe and just remember that the world continued to spin during the time of lockdown. It will continue to spin now. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no need for me to rush and run myself into the ground. Just like there was nothing that was so like an emergency that just had to be completed then. It's not going to be like that now either. I'm not going to run myself into the ground behind trying to get things done. I'll get it done when I get it done.
Yep, it will. It will happen.
So, Stranger Things.
Yes, you finally watched it.
I did. You have been on me about it. Like, girl, we got to go ahead on and record an episode about it. And I'm glad I did, because I know we have reviewed previous seasons, and I have mentioned how this is a kiddie show. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not really all that there because it's a kid's show, but I'm really enjoying this season.
This season, it's a lot more horror.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are a little bit more, I won't say adult, but they're definitely much more mature.
Yeah, and that's what I like. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, as they always do, they tell such good stories. For various, you know, they break up the characters and what everybody's experiencing. And I think they did a better job this year with it this season with it, because I feel like it felt very separate until it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give too many spoilers. I mean, at this point, I think everybody's seen it, but if you haven't, mm-hmm. push pause or fast forward real quick, but yeah. Just in case I spoil by accident. But I mean, I think as authors, you and I probably guessed quickly like what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said you guessed who the monster was pretty early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I saw it, but it wasn't till like minutes before they were going to reveal it anyway. Or maybe, you know, yeah.
Well, you know what? The reason is, and it's usually because I'm bringing a whole lot of other outside knowledge in when I'm watching stuff. Mm-hmm. So all I had to do was think about the casting. Like, hold up, why is this guy casted? You know what I mean? And so it was already like, hold up, I know good and well he is not going to be a good guy. I know good and well there's going to be a twist here because of who they have cast for this role. You know what I mean? Like, you cast certain people if you want some range, if you want some dynamics. And this is a person who could go from smiling and looking, you know, innocent to turning those eyes downward and lifting them and looking downright sinister. And mm-hmm. I thought he did a great job with that. But so that's why I saw that part coming.
That makes sense. Well, I tell you, they did a great job. And I really, really love the guy. And of course, I always forget his name when it's important to remember. But the new guy who was the Hellraiser. Was it Hellraiser?
Freddy Krueger?
No.
England is in there?
No. I'm talking about the kid with the long hair that they thought was the murderer or the devil's worshiper, whatever you want to call it. Is it Eddie? No, it's not Eddie. Was it Eddie?
Oh, it might be Eddie. Shit, I don't know. I don't remember those kids' names. But yeah. But why does he look so old? Like, am I supposed to be believing he's in high school?
Well, because he failed 3 years in a row.
I know, but still.
Twice. So at that point,
why is he still in high school, though?
Exactly. Go ahead
and get a GED, bro. Just stop going, please.
Yeah, he was already hitting 20 at that point, supposedly, or about to be. So, I mean, oh my gosh, they did a great job with this one. And I will definitely say this is probably my favorite season.
Yeah, agreed.
And, you know, I had a friend say, you know, well, I hadn't really wanted to watch it because I'm like, what else can they do? I'm like, wait a minute. We're getting that there's a bigger story. Not just the individual story. So the bigger story is, why is this mind flare wanting to get into our world? You know, we don't really, that battle hasn't even finished. She didn't kill it. It's still in the upside down. Mm. Second of all, you know, we now get the origin of these children. And also, we don't really know what's happened to the rest of them. So, you know, there's still a few been answered, but there's going to be one more season that's going to get all the answers. Now, the end of this season is not coming till July.
Yeah. So, and you know what's funny is I thought this was the last season. And I learned when I went to Conroe. We were out there riding boat. We were on a boat ride with this other couple who was celebrating 15. No, we've been married 15 years. They were married 13 years. So we were both couples on a boat celebrating our anniversaries, and we went to this restaurant that was down there, Margaritaville.
Mm.
And I went up to the register, and the hostess desk, and they were going to seat us. They just needed a name and all that. And then they started talking about Stranger Things. And I said, no, please, I haven't seen it yet. And at that time, my kids were home watching it, and I've been trying to keep my kids from saying anything to me about it. So when we were there, I was like, no, you're gonna ruin it. But then when we were talking a little bit, they said, okay, we won't spoil it, but you've got to go home. As soon as you leave, you've got to go home and start watching it. And then I was like, so this is the last season, right? And they said, no, there's one more season. It comes, the second half will come of this season will come out in July 1st. And then the next season, the last season will be next year. And I was like, oh, well, thank you. I got that information from some kids at a restaurant.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see where they're going to take it. And I think it's going to probably end well. And I really foresee them, like, they did a great job with this series.
Yeah.
No.
I've enjoyed it, but, you know, it makes me, I even looked it up on IMDb. I was like, do they have some new writers? Because this writing on this is really good. And I feel the same way about The Boys too, but we'll get to that next.
Yeah.
But Stranger Things, I feel like the writers, I don't know if they got new writers or if they just had more time to put in this, or if it's just because the kids are old. I don't know. Everything just comes together for me so much better this season. There was one downside. There was one part that I didn't like. Now, what I didn't like about the earlier seasons was it was so kiddie. And I really had problems with the teenage angst of the last season. Like, I was really bothered by that. This one, anytime they spend a whole lot of time on 11, I get real irritated. I get real irritated with that part.
Hmm. Interesting.
Like, I want... And it's not even that it shouldn't be done, because she's obviously, we needed to go through her getting, you know, her powers back, you know,
right, that whole and process. Also the horrific, you know, I mean how coincidental all those poor children were killed in this season, and then, you know, this show came out right after,
right,
you know, what yeah. happened here in Texas. So it was like, oh my gosh, like, it's so weird how coincidental. I mean, they filmed that over a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy.
And they had to put a warning on it in the beginning too, like, yeah, this was filmed some time ago. But it's just like, there's a whole group of kids here, and sometimes I feel like they just pay way too much time to 11. I was like, come on, I want to know the dynamics is what's going on with everybody, not just her.
Well, I will say that I'm pretty sure Will is gay.
Is he interested? He's not interested in 11.
I think he's interested in Mike.
Oh, okay.
That's what I think. Or he was. And he's trying to come out to him. Now, I don't know for sure, but that's just kind of the vibe I was getting.
Oh, okay. See, I thought it was going to be he was interested in 11 and he kind of feels some kind of way. It's kind of like a triangle where he's watching Mike and her be together instead. I don't know.
I think it's that he's probably, because they were best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he probably has feelings for Mike. And he probably doesn't, you know, he's still considered pretty young. I think they're freshmen in this particular season.
Yeah.
I think. And, you know, it's so funny because he's the oldest out of the kids in real life. And he looks the smallest.
Not to me. Well, yeah, okay, because Mike is tall as hell now.
But well, yeah.
Why have they grown so much though? That's eerie watching them. If you go back and look at like some of the older or younger pictures of them, you know, season one to now.
It's a natural thing in the age group that we started with these guys.
It's so weird.
I know. Can you imagine? I sometimes I think about that. I'm like, God, I don't remember. Well, then again, I'm fucking short as fuck. But I don't remember growing so like much, you know, like except for, you know, whiter.
Well, I'm watching it happen to my kids too, so you know, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, but what I was saying about 11, it's giving me Arya feel from Game of Thrones. You know how they spent like a whole season showing her journey, and it's like, okay, I realized that she had to go through some shit to show some growth, but I'm so tired of it. Like, it was the other players in the game that were more interesting to me than her process to get to where she needed to be. It's almost like I feel like I just need a montage of what's happening instead of seeing the whole drawn out process, though I do get why they're doing it.
Okay. I understand.
You're like, she's nitpicking.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, I'm just excited you finished it.
Yeah, but hey, I will say that's the only downside, you know.
Well, good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Hopper is really going through.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, speaking of Game of Thrones, you know, the officer that's on the Hopper storyline, he was in Game of Thrones. He was the girl has no name guy.
That dude is kind of hot, though.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I didn't mind that guy at all. I was like,
I wanted to have his long hair that he had in Game of Thrones, though.
Girl, that was a wig.
I know, the wig that he had on.
Well, speaking of prosthetics, let's talk about the boys.
Girl, listen. With the boys, I have been sitting there with my mouth gaped this whole season. Like, what is going on? What am I watching?
Girl, I just want y'all to know, I am a certified supernatural freako. When I got to see that man's ass, Jensen Ackles ass. I mean, my mom was trying to ask away. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I'm just like, look at the screen.
Yeah, Dean came over here and showed his ass, literally.
And then there was one part where he was running away and I saw something jiggling. Something was going on.
Why are you gonna make me go back and rewind,
girl? You know I'm gonna freeze it. Wait, I'm gonna do slow mo. Oh yeah, that's a jiggle.
And what's funny is it was right after we had just seen old boy's booty. The guy he's playing like a square on here, but
I'm trying
to think of his dad's name.
Starlight's man.
Yeah, Starlight's man. But what's his dad's name?
Girl, how would I know?
Fuck! I gotta look this up.
No, we must spend way so much time on this show trying to talk about people's names and we never fucking remember. How y'all can tell we ain't taking no notes.
Listen, that's Dennis Quaid's son, Jack Quaid. At him. He looks just like Dennis Quaid. Like when I'd never heard this man prior to The Boys season one. But I looked at him, I was like, oh my God, he looks like a younger version of Dennis Quaid. And I looked it up. I was like, sure enough, that's his son. But we had just seen Jack Quaid's ass. He just flew out of his clothes, which is hilarious because I've been laughing my ass off this season. Yeah. and then Jensen Ackles' ass came up and like, I was like, we kind of went from boy to man, you know, like that fast. We went from boy, you know, like, okay, nice, to man, like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm curious to see what's going to happen. I mean, obviously he's going to be, I feel like they're setting that for him to fight Homelander because he's supposed to be invincible too, unkillable.
Urban? Are you talking about Carl Urban?
Well, Homelander and Jensen Ackles.
The Butcher.
No, not Butcher. No, nothing to do with Butcher. I'm talking about Soldier Boy.
Oh, yeah.
And Homelander.
Do you think it's just him or like all of them?
I mean, they'll all probably get into it, but I mean, he's invincible. They thought he was dead and they had him on ice, which I knew the whole time. I was like, there's no way he's not dead.
Yeah, we knew that again because of casting. Like, you're not bringing in Jensen Ackles for him to be a dead character.
Buddy, you're just flashbacking too. Right. I need to see the junk people. I need to see.
They're not going to do that, not with him, unless it's a prosthetic. But I was thinking because they have this souped up juice, this V that they're giving everybody, that they were all going to be, you know, like he was raising up a whole army. Like, he's kind of like the Captain America of the boys. And these are the Avengers.
Could be.
But what I love about this show, first of all, the writers don't give a fuck. And I love that. I love it. Mm-hmm. They have come up with some stuff. And
girl, that first fucking scene with that little mini dude climbing up in a pee hole. and then sneezing.
It's hard for me to watch something and not kind of guess where it's going to go next. Man, they have surprised me so much on this show. Like, I have no idea. Sometimes I know what's happening, but for the most part, they are really able to surprise me with these scenes. But what I'll say about this particular season, this is my favorite season so far. It's just started. We're like, what, 4 episodes in? Is again, the writing. The writing is like, do y'all have some new writers or what? Because before I thought that, like Preacher, and a lot of the writers are also on Preacher, there were a lot of great scenes, you know, kind of outlandish scenes, but they didn't all tie together well in a great story form. Like, it was kind of disjointed at times. I feel like this is flowing so well. Like, all of the scenes, even the background that we're getting to set up certain character arcs and stuff. Like, I'm really, really enjoying the writing this time. Not just the outlandish stuff that they're doing, but the story is flowing so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen here. Like, I mean, obviously, Homelander's character is setting himself up so high to be knocked down real far. I mean, that's a given. But what I don't quite understand is what was so wrong with Soldier Boy? Now,
when he ran off?
No, like back in the day when they were saying he was just a horrible soup, and I couldn't quite understand.
Well, just based on the interaction that they showed with him and that lady,
he was very
misogynistic.
And that was typical men in that era. So I'm curious to see, you know, is this going to be a recurring role for Jensen, or is he just doing this particular season only?
We'll see. It's supposed to be recurring.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, maybe he does take out Homelander and he becomes a permanent member of the team. I don't know.
Unless I saw that incorrectly. I can't remember if it was that or because him and his co-star from Paradeki, his co-star from Supernatural was supposed to be on something, right? Together.
I don't think so. Him and Jared?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Because Jared started doing Walker.
Yeah, well, he might be going to Walker then, because it's something that he's supposed to be on with him together. And if that's the case, then that might be, I might have that confused. He may be going on there with him and not being a regular here.
Okay, I guess we'll have to see. I guess, yeah, we'll have to see. I could see a visit, like a quick hello, but I don't think that they're going to be on a show again together like that. I think they're trying to separate their careers.
Oh, it's called The Winchesters. I'm all wrong. They are doing a series called The Winchesters.
Right, but they're only going to be in there as, like, every now and then, because technically they're going back to this new series, The Winchesters.
Oh, so it's not a regular?
This is a show about their parents.
Okay.
Yes. How they, like, when they met as teenagers and how they became... So if we see anything with the guys, it's going to be just, you know, something here and there and not often.
You know, something else that's going on with the boys that I enjoy is the parallels with the real world. You know, like we are seeing a lot of, like there's a lot of metaphorical stuff that's going on. What Homelander represents, like he's representing white supremacy in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just the representation of what's happening, how he has arisen to power, he's powerful, and then how he subjugates everybody, and then even with
A-Train,
him double crossing old boy, like I saw that happen because I started seeing the parallels that they were showing. So I was like, well, A-Train wants to be accepted so badly that he is going to double cross. This is like a Clarence Thomas.
he
said, I am not a Michael Jordan. I'm a Michael Jordan, not a Malcolm X. So he's basically saying that he wants to be accepted. And then we see how Homelander is treating him so badly. They both down on the ground. He goes and he helps the Hispanic guy. What's his name? Okay, I can't remember his name. Alex, who didn't make it. So he goes and he's basically, they're showing the rift between the black man and the Hispanic guy. And we see that they should not be enemies. Homelander is the problem. But
I think it was the deep.
What?
Yeah, it was the deep he was having that argument with when they knocked each other on the floor and he helped the deep up and then Alex came around the corner and that's when Alex took.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The rift between. Yes, you're correct. But, the point I'm trying to make is the rift is between A-Train and. It could be anybody else, but he is wanting to have Homelander's approval so much that he's looking at how he can sell out other people in order to get in good with Homelander. And so and you call him Deep. That's his name. I call him the Gill Boy. What's it?
Yeah. The Deep.
He's the deep. Mm-hmm. You know what? Yep. I don't think I ever knew his name. Okay. But yes, you're right. That's the one he was getting into it with. So my point is, let's say that this was like people who from a lower socioeconomic status or something. Let's say he represented that because he has been on Homelander's bad side too, right? So the deep has been on Homelander's bad side and he's been trying to get back in his good graces. Both of them are trying to get in his good graces and then they're fighting with each other. Instead of
teaming up instead of trying to figure out how they can work together to come against Homelander. They're fighting each other. So I was like, oh shit. When the Hispanic guy, when Alex comes and he is really trying to be a good guy, he is trying to stand up and be there for him, and he tries to bring him in. A-Train sells him out because he wants to be in good so bad. It's like that Uncle Tom shit. But I was like, there are so many real world analogies. Like, they are, the allegory here is so real world based that it's so wild. You know, we can see a lot of what's happened politically happening on that set, on the scene too. They just aren't spelling it out.
Well, yeah, what I noticed was the female suppression on it with Maeve and Starlight. I mean, yes. They're both basically being super sexist towards those two women.
Yes, yes.
And there's no need to try to figure that out. That's like plain and in your face.
Yes, he is. And then using them, like, so Starlight is in this abusive relationship with, you know, she's in a relationship with a narcissist right now. She can't make any moves. She can't do anything because she's being threatened. That is very much so what people have to deal with on a regular basis. When you're dealing with, she's having to play along, you know, in a lot of ways.
Well, she has no choice, or else, you know, because she's with the human. Right. So he's like, you know, next time this is going to be your human, and not, you know, and you can't stop me, and you're going to do what I say, and that's just that.
Control.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, the whole thing about this series is power, and, you know, Homelander has all the power, and he can't understand, why am I not loved? Well, it's not about actual power, it's about opinion. And I think I was really surprised that he was smart enough to realize it can, even if they, like he told Starlight in the one scene, again, spoiler alert, you can tell everybody, you can show everybody this film of me. And guess what? I don't care. Because if they decide to all hate me, well, then I have nothing left to lose, and I'm going to just kill everyone.
Right.
It's like right there, the general reason why we shouldn't have people with superpowers.
I felt like there was a lot of that whole, once he spoke up and was quote unquote himself, even if he was saying things that were awful, how people liked him for that. Man, that was straight out of Trump's book right there.
No, yeah. And our current mayor, or, well, not mayor, oh my God, Senate, whatever he is, that idiot that runs our fucking state.
Oh God, yeah. Absolute power. You're talking about Abbott. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
But I am really loving Giancarlo Esposito, and I sure hope he does not get got in this, because I love his character so much. He is always so calm. This is the Vault guy. He is, and Homelander mentioned it too. He was like, even now, your blood pressure is 80 over 26 or something, whatever he said. He was like, I don't get it. I can't understand it. And he could finish him. Like, he's realized that I don't really have to put up with you. Homelander is thinking, I don't really have to put up with you. Because they're going to love me anyway, no matter how terrible I am. But Giancarlo, I can't think of what his real name is what his name is up here. I can just think of his real name. But he is still like, but you won't, boy.
and there lies a question, and I think that there's something up Vought's sleeve that we don't know about.
Well, I think I don't know if there's, I don't know where they're going with him, but from what I can see so far, he is someone who is super smart. Like, he is a strategist, and he has figured Homelander out. He has been figuring him out all along. He has been controlling him, but not with brute strength or threats. He's been able to control him because he knows him, and he knows his weaknesses. So now, like, if
If Homelander, I want to keep calling him Highlander. If Homelander kills everybody, who's going to worship him?
Right.
And if he gets rid of Vought, who is going to be a challenge for him?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's still stuck with people. Even if, you know, like, you can be all powerful, but if you get rid of everybody, then you don't have any power to flex. There's nobody to flex for.
Yeah.
So he just seems to me like he is like an Einstein of psychology or something. Like, he can really see what makes this guy tick and just pull all the strings. Even when Homelander pulls another move, it's like he's still right there. That's why he's still so fucking calm.
Yeah.
I love it.
There's more to it. I think there's more. We'll see. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I just hope Homelander does not kill him this season, because I really love that character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been good. It's been very good. Well, I will say too, I did watch the other one you recommended for me to check out, and it's First Kill on Netflix. Very teenage, very angsty, but it's a little it's Romeo and Juliet with a white vampire and a black vampire hunter, and they're both female, and they're falling in love with each other, or they are in love with each other. Mm-hmm. And just kind of all the crazy chaos that ensues from there. So the story isn't so bad. I mean, you know, it's based off of a classic, but they have come up with some interesting concepts. Some of the acting is horrible and it's hard to watch. It's not too bad. Some of the older brothers and so forth are quite attractive, so it's nice to watch them whenever they're on. But yeah, I mean, I watched it. My mother, of course, wanted to see it, so she enjoyed that more than me, I would say.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Thank you for taking one for the team, because that's one where I looked at it and I was like, First Kill. I read the synopsis. It sounds like it should be me. I usually watch anything having to do with vampires, etc. I looked at this trailer and I was like, oh my God, I cannot do it. So yeah.
You would have lost it. Yeah. A lot of teenage angst.
Oh, yeah. God, no. I mentioned it to you. You were like, okay, I'm going to check it out. So
great for the teenagers. Yeah. Anyone in your home that's a teenager, or if you enjoy young adult things, it was decent. It wasn't horrible, except for some of the actors. But, you know, they usually got killed off pretty quickly. So
it's a series, right? Or a movie?
It is. It is a series.
You finished the whole series?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty quick.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought you were just going to check out the first episode.
No, I watched the whole thing. It wasn't ever really too slow, so it kept you going. And it was just interesting. It was very, very interesting, the different mythology, you know, things like that. Like, their zombie was really super fast than the eye could see, instead of, like, slow. You know, and just different things. They're vampires. They have the girl who she's in love with is what's considered a legacy vampire, and they can't be killed by normal means. Mm-hmm. And so they've done some interesting things with the mythology of these creatures. So I find that interesting enough to watch.
Okay. And so I like the idea of the lesbian representation in a supernatural show. Wonderful. In a vampire related show, that's awesome. But I think I'm gonna pass on this one.
Yeah, your daughter would like it though.
Okay, I'll tell her
as long as you're cool.
Of course. I have no
okay, whatever,
it's life. It's yeah. Life.
Exactly. It's just another more people making out on TV. Yeah. Now, I just watched that show Candy. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
It is a mini series. I think it only has 4 parts. And it's the true tale of a woman back in the 80s here in Texas that axe murdered her ex-lover's wife and got away with it because she claimed self-defense.
Hmm. You said this is the true crime one?
True crime, and it's really interesting. It's really well done. The I I feel like an asshole. Jessica something. She played in the very first, oh God, now I can't remember the name of the other show. Wow. I'm having a good night, guys. this is what getting old looks like. Jessica, something with an A. What's the Jessica's with the A? Anyway, Biel, Jessica Biel. Thank you. Somebody loves me. Okay, so Jessica Biel is plays Candy. And I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, oh my gosh, she looks so different because they keep this really tight perm in her hair and these big, huge glasses. Show her, and you know, she takes her clothes off, you know, and she's wearing underwear or whatever. But you're like, oh yeah, that's Jessica Biel. Because she's like got the perfect body. I hate her face. But no, she's great. No, I love her. She's awesome. And she does a great job in the show. So I would definitely recommend if you're into true crime and you want to see one psychotic bitch, you want to watch Candy. It's really interesting. And it's all church going, folks.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll pass on that one. I did think when we chatted, I tried Intimacy, that show on Netflix. It just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had watched a movie called Intimacy a few years ago, and I enjoyed that. Intimacy has like unsimulated sex scenes in it, and it was just about an intimate relationship between this couple that just kind of met off the street. That was the movie that I watched before. So I said, okay, a show based on the same name. Let's check it out. It was a Spanish show. It had absolutely nothing to do with the movie that I watched years ago. I just thought I'd plug the old movie that I enjoy.
Oh,
but
okay.
This one, Intimacy, is a Spanish show because I get advertised every single one of those now, I think. And what I like about it is the same thing in terms of they reveal slowly what's happening. So you don't know everything going in. Everything is a slow reveal. But it is about a scandal. So this woman, I don't want to say scandal. I guess it is a scandal. But this woman is a politician. She's trying to be mayor. And she is she's very high powered and everything. And someone releases a video of her having sex on the beach.
Hmm.
And it kind of derails her whole career. Well, it's I don't want to say derail. I didn't get past the first two episodes. I'm going to tell you why. I was looking for something sexy. Okay, so I was all about the whole her having sex on the beach and it getting found out, especially since she's married and has a child. And so her husband is a cuckold. Cuckold. And he says that like within the first few minutes or so. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm like, where are they going with this? But they have, their marriage is a farce and everything. So I was like, okay, I like this, you know. It's just about a woman, and I like that she stood up for herself. She's like, I don't care what y'all think about this. Sex is a natural part of life. I'm the victim here, you know. There is another story running in the background that's kind of running parallel. Well, this woman who died by suicide, she also had some nude photos of her release. And so there is a woman, the head of an organization, to try to go after the criminals, because this is a crime when you share footage of somebody like that without their consent, whatever, on here. So I kind of liked the sexy aspect of it. I don't like so much the it's more, I don't want to say preachy, but it's more cautionary tale. Is more real based. Like, I wanted to watch something that was more fantasy, like more this is sexy rather than this is a crime that must be solved, like we must teach these people a lesson type thing.
Okay.
It just felt a little too true, a little too real, and I wanted to escape into another world. Like I wanted to be entertained. I didn't want to feel like, oh, I'm so upset about this happening to people in the real world type deal.
Okay. I get it. Okay.
It was just a personal thing for me. Maybe at some point I'll go back and finish it. I don't know. It's not that the story did anything bad. I just wasn't in the mood for something so heavy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, the other thing I saw on Hulu was The Pistols. I don't know if you saw the advertisement. Well, I saw Donna and Tom. That was fucking crazy. But The Pistols, it's a telling of the Sex Pistols and how their whole life went. I mean, there was so much confusion around that band, and I couldn't even with the other movies, I didn't ever understand what was happening. But now I have a complete understanding of that band. And I thought it was quite interesting, actually. I was really... it's really an interesting way to experience, and all the whole Queen stuff through the eyes of the punk rocker, and what life was like for people back in the 70s and that era, and you know, and all that good stuff. So I would definitely recommend The Pistols. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. And then I also watched Pamela and Tommy. Oh. Girl, talk about prosthetics. They threw on a prosthetic on the actor for Tommy Lee. You know, he's really hung in real life. Mm-hmm. It's a show about the sex tape that got out, mm-hmm. and what it did to Pamela Anderson's life. And basically, you know, made her into a porn star, even though she did pose for Playboy, but that is a very different thing than being a porn star. But it was really interesting, the sex tape that is out there, because it's owned now, they had no choice but to sell it to someone to keep people from being able to sell it on the streets. That's how crazy it got. Mm-hmm. The women who watched the sex tape all were like, it's a testament to how much they loved each other. And then the men, of course, were like even the guy who stole the tape and was selling it and started the whole thing had never even sat there and watched it. Like, he didn't even know what was on it. And when he finally watched it, he started feeling guilty for what he had done. But it's quite an interesting telling of these two people's lives and what they, you know, they're, you know, people that get into fame and fortune, they just become different, you know, just like with these guys and the boys that have all these powers, they're not like normal humans. And so you just get so, Pamela Anderson was really all about selling that feminine, you know, kind of airheaded thing, because that's what was getting her attention and making her money. And then she wanted to start changing that. But by that time, by the time she started to go to make barbed wire, the sex tape was out. And then she miscarried because she was pregnant. There was a lot of shit that happened in her life particularly. And again, you know, I'm going to always bring it back to female, you know, female rights, if you will. And, you know, especially back then, you had no right to your life choices. You know, if you chose to be the type of woman who slept with, you know, different men, you know, instead of just like settling down with one man, you were a whore and a prostitute. And I don't know how much that's really changed now. You know, I mean, I think there are more people vocal about supporting women who want to have a life of their choosing versus a life of you have to marry this guy and have this many children. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it was interesting for me. That's, you know, of course, that's what I would see out of it. But yeah, the part where Tommy Lee and his penis were having a conversation was fucking hilarious. That, I mean, that alone is worth the watching. Hmm. Yeah, you're like, wow.
Mm. Okay, I'm gonna pass on that too.
No, I understand. I mean,
I was at first going to watch because of Sebastian Stan is playing Tommy Lee. Mm-hmm. And I like him, but I'm absolutely not interested in Pamela Lee's story at all.
Oh, okay.
Pamela Anderson. Yeah. Pamela Anderson Lee. There we go.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the telling from she actually didn't even talk about, you know, he eventually did get arrested for, you know, spousal abuse. Mm-hmm. And that's what ultimately made her divorce him. And then she went back to him later. But I mean, it's definitely, you know, we all have to make our own choices about how what we want to be represented out in life. And, you know, it's just definitely an interesting thing. I'm writing a new book, and it's about females and the perspective of being a female and what it is for me personally. And I've done a lot of research on feminism. And this, I mean, this is shit that's been being talked about, I mean, since the Roman times. And because, like, right when they started talking about natural law, which is eventually became human rights, they actually were, you know, the philosophers and stuff talking about all this were talking about men only. They were not talking about women. And then, you know, it wasn't until much, much later in America that, because it was women in England that were pushing feminism. And then when it moved over to America, it changed, because that's when women of color, Hispanic, you know, Black, Asian, who's not a white female, was like, you don't represent what our struggles are, you know? So it's really an interesting thing how feminism has changed. And I think we talked about, we're going to do a show on something like that at some point.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely come back and revisit this discussion.
Yeah. And I it's an interesting thing. And I think it, of course, needs to evolve again, because like everything in the world, it has to evolve in order for it to survive. And because and you know, right now, there's just a lot of voices trying to be heard, which that's what the internet's for, I suppose. If nothing else.
All right. Well, I guess we're done for today.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Oh, I did see the new Jurassic Park movie, everyone. That's a good one. Go check it out.
Jurassic Park?
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Huh. I was going to pass on that one just because I'm tired of the dinosaurs. It's like, man, they are really milking this dry. But
this is supposed to be the last one.
I'm glad it was good.
Yeah, I like the dino fight in this one. There was like, it was like Godzilla, but with real dinosaurs. It was cool.
Well, I saw Mission Impossible, which I don't know why I want to keep saying Mission Impossible. There is another one coming out, though, next year, because it was the trailer for Top Gun. But, I mean, I saw Top Gun, which has nothing to do with sex and horror. I will just say that I did enjoy it.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of sexy people in that show. I mean, you know, Air Force people, you know, male, female. There's a lot of sexy people up in there. I saw a lot of push-ups happening in one of the trailers. I was like, hey, there you go.
Well, there are zero sex scenes. I mean, there's one time where there's some kissing. That's about it. But
yes,
Tom Cruise is still a nice hunk of flesh. I don't mean to sexualize him, but, you know.
I mean, he works so hard on his body. We're just telling him good job.
Yeah, he has done a great job. He has upkept himself very well. He is the hardest working man in Hollywood, I think.
Probably.
He's still doing his stunts. You know, I mean, what can you say about somebody that's still doing it at his age, still looking good?
Yeah, I'm afraid to watch that movie just because I think I'll get motion sickness from the airplane.
It is good. I mean, Miles Teller, I think, is probably holding up for the younger generation that likes to see him. And that's about, I couldn't tell you anybody else that was in it.
Okay. Well, there you go.
It was good. I do like, I mean, we're talking over 30 years apart, I think, for these movies. So that is amazing. I really love that.
And then
I
saw the double feature. I didn't realize I bought the tickets for the double feature. And yeah, I was like, oh, so 30 years apart. But it was actually kind of good because they did a lot of shit that called back to the first movie. Mm-hmm. And had I not just seen it, I wouldn't have remembered any of the stuff. I would have been like, what are they talking about? What did they mean by that? You know what I mean? So I'm really glad that that weird incident of buying a double feature worked out.
I liked it, but I can't say like it was just super great. Like some people were like, "Man, this is the best movie I've seen." Nah, I can't say that.
Well, they said that about the first one, and I didn't think the first one was that great. Yeah.
Since I watch a lot of movies, you know, I can't say that it was the best thing I've seen in so long, but it is a good one. There is going to be another Mission Impossible, and what I'm most looking forward to next is Bullet Train.
Bullet Train, what is that?
Bullet Train is my other white daddy. My white boyfriend. He's been my boyfriend since I was a teenager. My first white boyfriend, Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay.
You haven't seen the trailers for it?
I don't think so. Maybe. No? I saw something with him, but I didn't know what it was.
I'm really looking forward to Bullet Train. It looks like it is going to be good.
I still have that Playgirl, you know. I sure do. I got it.
Do you?
I sure do. Yep, when he was photographed nude on his balcony.
With Thelma and Louise around that time?
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't with Thelma and Louise. Brad Pitt was at a hotel, and he decided to go outside naked, and people took a bunch of pictures.
Ah! I think I've seen that one.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
I think. But, you know, just in case, you know, how about, you know,
I bring it next time we see each other.
Just take a picture and send it to me. Let me see if it's the same one that I remember seeing.
Ago. Get it. Make sure it's clear so you can make it your screensaver.
Yeah, just make it, let me just see if it's the same one.
Well, I will say, you know, he must be a grower, not a shower. But you know, it's still nice. It was still nice to see him, you know, in his birthday suit.
He's got that BDE anyway. And let this be a lesson. See, I told you I was not a size queen. I told you it was never about that.
The girl who says that after talking about all the big giant penis she likes to look at.
Well, I mean, between him, like there's a few where it just didn't matter to me. Shamar Moore is another one. I think he is a grower, not a shower, but you know, whatever. And same thing with Tom Hardy. Like, fuck it, whatever. It's still Tom Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, same thing with Jensen, right? If they do happen to show that package, I don't care what it looks like. I'm just gonna be like, woo!
They are not gonna show it. They are not.
Well, they showed a wobble. I saw a wobble.
Girl, that's that sock that he's holding in the front, around the front. There's a sock.
Don't take my fence.
But I'm gonna check just to make sure. I'm gonna check it out.
She's gonna rewind it. Right?
I'm gonna go check. All right, on that note.
All right, I guess that's it.
This is what happens when we don't end it and we just keep talking.
Well, everybody, you know, likes talking about junk. Men like talking about their junk. Why can't we? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, girl.
All right, have a good one.
You have a good night. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex and Horror.
Make sure you subscribe.
And join our Facebook group.
If you'd like to be a guest, let us know.
If you have a topic to suggest, a movie, TV show, book, song to be featured, let us know.
You can follow me at ChantelRenee.com.
And I'm at Dicey Grinner all over social media. You can find me on my website, DiceyGrinnerBooks.com.
See you next week for Sex and Horror.